We're here to shine a light on the forgotten generation. This is the Modern Gen X Woman podcast, and I'm Jackie Gadeen.
And I'm Amy Bishop. We're business and career coaches who work with women like you. And we are pissed.
You should be too.
Because we have not been seen or heard, and that changes now.
Listen up, because we're going to share with you insights and ideas to make these years our best years.
F you, midlife.
We know women are far superior species. The world would literally cease to exist without us. While I find myself smiling wide when I say that, this isn't just my beliefs. The research is in. Women are better leaders. Here's a stat that will blow your mind. Of the S&P 500, there are 459 male CEOs and only 41 female CEOs. The companies that have women as CEOs have significantly outperformed the companies run by men. And over the past 10 years, the difference in return is 384% from female-led companies versus 261% from male-led companies. Across the board, women outperform men on all or most, depending on the research, leadership measurements. As women leaders, we must trust ourselves and lean into our inherent female traits. This means throwing away the masculine energy many of us thought we had to take on in order to be an effective leader. Hint, those traits don't work. Tomorrow's leaders need to embrace and lead with female traits. Listen up as we talk about leading like a woman.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, female leader, woman, girl.
I'm a woman.
I'm a woman. I said woman, girl.
You said woman, girl. So I want to get bumper stickers that say women are better leaders. Wouldn't that be good? Because if you're in front, if you're behind that car, it means that women
I are think that's a really fun. And we put MGXW.
Yeah, you
so
want to do it?
Branding. I think we should.
All right.
How do you think?
What do you guys think?
That?
Would you guys want bumper stickers that say women are better leaders?
Women are better leaders.
Modern Gen X woman.
Yeah, that's so fun. Okay, so welcome to this week's episode of Modern Gen X Woman, the podcast. If you are listening to this and you are not a leader, it doesn't matter. Listen up. I'm going to share something that I wasn't going to share just because this wasn't the direction. But when my first job as a manager slash leader, I was 26. And I thought I was a good leader, and I was not.
You were not? Why were you not? Jackie's very confident, so she'll step into anything with confidence.
Right, so I did step into it. I thought I was a good leader at the time. I really recognize now as I look back a couple of things. One is I never had a good leader to emulate before that. Not that I didn't have a good leader. I had one good
a big difference.
Boss, but I always worked for white men. Mm-hmm. I always worked in companies, and even I always worked in companies that were not only misogynistic but sexually charged.
Yes,
and
you shared a lot of that before.
Right, and I also worked in companies where there were a lot of egos.
Okay,
so I used to lead with ego.
Oh, okay.
And it was really to overcompensate for my lack of confidence in a lot of ways.
Was so it lack of confidence or lack of awareness of what it could have looked like leadership perspective?
No, I think it was confidence at the time because I had no concept about that. I think that I was confident in sales and I thought leadership was about leading with power.
Yes.
Even though I was very empathetic when somebody had an issue or situation, I was good at conflict resolution. So there obviously were things I was naturally good at. But when it came to, I thought that my way was the only way to work.
Okay.
So I wasn't as open to what that could look like. And so I'm sharing this because there's a statistic that only 10% of people are natural leaders.
Okay, natural leaders,
right? So for most of us, there has to be some sort of focus, understanding, and development. And when I went to Ad Age afterwards, after my two stints prior, and I went as a salesperson, and then I got bumped up to leadership, what I recognized in the 4 years that I was there before I was, you know, promoted, or 3 years I was there before I was promoted, was that I had to work really hard to rethink what a leader looked like before I was even promoted.
Okay.
Because I knew when I stepped into Ad Age with a bunch of grown-ups that, and I'm not saying the leadership was great at Ad Age. We had a woman that was very masculine energy. We had a direct boss who was very frenetic.
Okay.
However, they were, he was a very even person. Like
okay.
when it came to, I don't want to say fair because he did favor the boys, but he wasn't sexual. He was asexual, right? There
okay.
was none of that stuff.
Yes.
There was no, right. So there was a lot of
none
other
of that.
Things
yeah.
that were great. But I recognized that I wasn't going to learn leadership from those two people.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to emulate either of those. So I learned how not to be a leader more than how to be, like, what not to do.
So it sounds like you stepped, I have to remind me, I want to say something about that. So you stepped into this culture and you, it sounds like you were like, oh, there was awareness that you needed to change your leadership style. Yet the two people in front of you were like, this is not what I want to do.
Right. So
right,
I kept
like what not to do.
Right. I kept getting that experience of what not, like, if you want to be a good leader, don't do this.
Right.
Right. And so, and the reason why I'm sharing all of this is because I had to work really hard. I worked really hard. And then I recognized what was missing in our culture. And I filled the gap before I was promoted. I just filled that gap. And when I took over, every time I had four ad directors before I took the ad director position. Every time the ad director left, the team would ask me to take that job. Every single time. And every time I said no, because I didn't want to work for the publisher. And then the last time, the last ad director left, and the publisher got pushed out as well. Or the publisher got pushed out first, and then they pushed out the ad director. And
the frenetic guy?
No, two or three directors after.
Okay, okay.
And I recognized that I was like, this is my time. Like,
yes,
I knew that.
You knew
and
it.
When I stepped into it, my one colleague, Dave Boniface, I'm calling you out because I say this all the time, and I remember this, he said, and this was a man who was my colleague, who is, I think at the time, 12 years my senior. He was so happy I took over. He said, I used to see in black and white, and now I see in color.
Oh.
And why I'm sharing this is not to put the spotlight on me, but because I want every single woman who's listening to this to recognize that leadership is a transformational journey.
Yes.
And it is something that need to continually develop. And we have to develop it for the time we are in now.
I was just going to add that. That's why it's so important to always be building on the skills, because things are changing so dramatically right now.
Yes.
Right? Where there's this call for a different kind of leadership. And it's the call is so loud that companies can't ignore it anymore.
No.
At all. So I wanted to just share a quick kind of antidote. So there was a woman that I used to work with. Her name was Hope Bader. And ironically, Jackie knows her or knew her also because we were in the same industry. She was a client.
And she really
liked her.
Yeah.
Very sadly, Hope passed away. So sad. But when I first started working for Hope, I didn't really love her as a leader. And I look back now and I think about it, and it's because I'm going to share a little bit about where I had come from before I had started working for Hope, which was I was pretty beaten down by the worst boss I ever had. So my confidence was at a low, and Hope was very direct. Actually, sometimes she reminds me of you now. Because you're very direct. No, actually, but I appreciate it now.
Right.
Because she was like, this is, you know, she wasn't always warm and fuzzy. You are warm and fuzzy. Hope wasn't always warm and fuzzy, but she was very direct, and she knew what she wanted, and she called out good leaders. Because I remember when she interviewed me, she said, I better get you now before you get snatched up. But that's that's another story. But anyway, I remember if someone did something wrong, she would just say very matter-of-factly, okay. Now we know what not to do.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
that.
And,
you know, I remember that message over and over. One time, this is a completely a side note, I was with my sister-in-law at the time. I was taking her on her college visits, and I almost ran out of gas. And we were in a really sketchy neighborhood. And I remember I locked her in the car, pumped the gas myself, got back in, and I'm like, this is an example of what not to do. And I was like channeling my inner hope.
That's so funny.
Anyway, that was a long tangent, but.
No, it's, I mean, this is part
but
of
that's
it.
Also like, being a leader, right? And that's you. The other thing too, in that moment with my sister-in-law, Bridget, I was being a leader. You know, I'm like, I think 15 or 16 years older than her, and I was taking her on our college visits. I was acting in leadership. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm not in corporate, I'm never going to be, doesn't mean that you can't lead or mentor someone and that the things that we're going to talk about today aren't relevant to you.
Right. And leadership has not, and we've done an episode on this, but leadership really doesn't have anything to do with the title, right? People lead because they are, here's the thing that I did recognize, sorry, but people lead naturally or they lead because they find things to lead or things to run. But here's what I recognized, what one of the things that made me a natural good leader was that I am very much about building camaraderie and I'm very much about maximizing individuals.
Yes, you are.
Those are the two things that are natural to me. They're both part of my strengths. I'm positivity. Which is right, and I'm all about relationships but building comfort for people. And then the third is I'm a maximizer. So it's really interesting because then the rest of the things I learned or had to learn, and the leader I was in my 20s wasn't a great leader, but it worked for the time that we were in. But if I was like that now, gosh. Right. So self-awareness is one of the biggest things a leader has to have today.
Yes.
In order to really open up and reflect on where they need to be better. And that is a very different type of leader because back in the day, long ago, right, it was ego. It was militant. It was power. Right. It was fear-driven versus this idea of how do we all work better together, right? I say you do this, you do this.
Correct.
And I remember having someone who worked for me at that job where I wasn't such a great leader who he had an ego. He liked to feel important. He liked to feel significant. Significance, we found out later on, was one of his strengths. But it didn't
but
work
not,
for
not
him.
Not in space,
right,
yeah.
But it didn't work for him in that way. And I was like, you just have to be at work by 9:30. Like, I'm not asking you for 8 o'clock. I'm not asking you for 8:30. You have to show up at 9:30.
Right.
Because things are starting to happen. And he would show up at 10 o'clock. And I remember, like, I was so militant about it. Right. Where today I would say, okay, if you want to work at 10 o'clock, that's fine. But you need to put in the hours at a different time.
Right.
You need to make sure that you're hitting these markers.
Right.
But at that time, that wasn't the case. Flexibility wasn't even an issue.
Well, that's exactly. You know? Like, flexibility was not an issue.
And he didn't have kids. And he just was like, you know.
Ran
like
late. Yeah.
Ran late, right? So, but then what's ironic is when I was at that age, I had a woman that I worked with who always came to work late.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Like, she just wasn't a morning person. Never once said anything.
Right.
The only time I said something was like, hey, we do have a meeting at 9:30 tomorrow. Is that going to work for you? Because I know, because if it's not, you can come in later or you can skip the meeting.
Right.
That's maturity, right? That's leadership.
But I
maturity.
Also think it's culture, right? So there are some cultures. So the right. guy right. that I had that was like the worst. Well, let me back up for a second. First of all, I think it was culture. Yeah. Second of all, I think that's changing, where flexibility is really something that people are saying they need.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, corporate really didn't care about it.
Yep.
You were expected to be there at 9. That was just the way it was. And FaceTime was very valued,
yes.
right? So if you weren't at your desk at 9 o'clock, people knew it.
Yep.
So, or even stayed past 5, people
yes.
knew it, right? So that was an important part of the way culture worked. I think that's changing now. The worst boss I ever had in my life, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, was right after my sister had passed away. And I think maybe I would get to work maybe 5 after 9, and he would call me out on it.
It's unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. He was the biggest, I'm going to say it, he was the biggest dick out there.
Explicit.
And, yeah. Like, and yeah. He was just an a-hole through and through. Now, could I have responded better? Absolutely. But we're going to talk about what bad leadership looks like.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're talking about this too, because I think a big part that women need to understand is you're listening to this and you're in a job, any kind of job. If you lead a team or if you don't lead a team. There are things that you lead. It could be a project. It could be a classroom, right? You lead the classroom. Right. If you are a teacher, it could be a P&L. Like you have to lead your business if you're in sales, right? There are things we all lead. What I want every woman to listen to is that we grew up, our generation, Gen X, grew up thinking we needed to emulate men and take on the energy of men in order to be successful female leaders.
Right. Yes.
That is
well,
not
that's the, well, that's what was modeled for us.
Right. That right. And that's we didn't know how to be any different. And why I am saying that with such conviction is because not only did it not work for us, because then women would that's where women leadership I think got its worst rap, because we were inauthentically trying to be something we weren't. And there are also bad women bosses too. But I think that the worst were the ones that were leading with fear and
yes.
being, right, all of that. And I think the other side is that we never really trusted ourselves.
Right.
And so when that's the first thing I really want to talk about with you, we really want to, is how do we trust ourselves as a leader? And how do we start stepping into that and stop trying to take on the leadership traits that we learned from osmosis or through osmosis from men, right? And this is where, this is the future, right? Is enhancing our natural feminine traits that are what a good leader needs to be today, right? Good communicator.
Yes.
Good relationships.
Building collaboration.
Yes, building collaboration.
Dealing with conflict and change.
Yeah, all of that. Innovation.
Yes.
Right? Decision making. Women are great decision makers. Women, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but there's a whole correlation between women and stress and how we handle it.
Yes.
So there are lots of things that we naturally do so much better. And I really want us to think about that as we're thinking about how we want to show up tomorrow.
The other thing is you may have not two things. You may not have considered that any of that, those qualities that Jackie and I just kind of rambled off are leadership qualities. The other thing is you may be so close to them and so close to your own strengths that you don't even recognize it.
Yeah.
And that happens so often.
So often.
So I love to always ask, you know, everything that we do always starts with awareness, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're considering what your leadership traits are, think about where you're at right now, right? So like, what are some of the ways you like about the way you lead? For me, I think I've always been a very collaborative leader. I have always felt if I know what the end goal is, if you want to get there in a different way than myself, go for mm-hmm. it. So that is being open, right? And allowing people to be where they're at and then mentor them from that point on. Another thing is to ask trusted people, what is your greatest strength so that you're aware of it because you may not be aware of it, and ask where is there an opportunity to get better? So you're not saying, well, what's my weakness? Because the truth is people are not, they could be uncomfortable saying, well, you suck at doing this, right? But if you position it in that, well, here's an opportunity. Where's an opportunity for me to get even better? People are more likely to share where they feel that there is an opportunity. Another thing to consider, what leadership styles do you like and what leadership styles don't you like and why?
Yeah.
You know, before I said that Hope's style of being direct used to bother me, but now as I'm, and this is a very many, many years later, I am a different person now, and
more
I can
confident.
See. Yeah, much more confident. I was very beaten down when I first started
of being
working.
Direct,
that's
not
right.
BSing.
And that's right. Yeah. Exactly. And I appreciate that now. So ask yourself also when you're saying, well, I don't like this leadership style. Why?
Right.
Right. Look at it from different perspectives and then put together a learning plan for your own personal development, because that's really on you.
It is. And especially because the statistics about how much money is invested to develop leadership from corporations is like 3%. You know, it's very, very low because they don't really care. They know they need good leaders, but they don't want to invest in people. It's an ongoing problem. So you really do have to invest in yourself, read some great books, get a great coach, hint, hint, but no, in all seriousness, but those are the things that are to help you. And you touched on something I want to kind of expand upon, Mimi, which is leadership style. And this is really important because a couple of things. As women leaders, we deal with things very differently as far as how we are seen by outsiders and the perspective that we are seen and the perception of how we are. And our style does matter. So we always, of course, want to be authentic to who we are. But I do want to pull out that we do need to adopt styles that are going to be beneficial for the team and the organization. And what that means is if you are more passive, right? There are lots of things that are good about being a leader that's passive, right? You are easygoing, maybe you're a calm force in a storm, right? There are a lot of good things. But the other side of it is you could only make decisions by committee, or your leadership style is to lean back and let everyone else take the credit. And that's not going to work. So right. Recognizing the authentic self, but changing or taking one or two behaviors to make yourself lean a little bit more one direction or another. Right. And not doing it all, but doing that. And it's really important. It's some of the work that we do with our clients because we recognize how important it is for us to bring that awareness, but then to have one little thing that we can do to change, right? So that we're not taking it all on
at once. Can't take it all on at once.
No. I want to shift and talk a little bit about soft skills, Mimi, because how many of you throughout your career, look, if you're listening to this, most likely you're 40 or more, 40 years old or more, which means that our soft skills were like diminished. They were not important for a long time.
Oh, right.
I hate that they call them soft skills. I think that needs to change. But emotional intelligence is a soft skill we talk about a lot and we hear a lot. And it comes naturally for women. And it is really our nature to understand our own feelings, recognize and neutralize our emotions so that they don't get the better of us.
Right.
And then assess other people's feelings and then go into them as a leader, right? And be able to deal with people in that way. And that is it's so important for us to know that that is a skill that is only going to be more prevalent and more important as leadership positions continue to grow and as companies continue to grow, because we need to be emotionally connected.
Yes.
So this isn't a soft skill. This is a human skill.
Yes.
Right? And this human first approach to leadership absolutely has to take precedent. Otherwise, we're going to end up we're really going to end up being a society of robots, and that's not going to progress us. And we need people to work hard for us. And I don't mean work hard, like putting everything aside, but we need people to work for us. And they only want to work for us if we treat them nicely.
Right. And there's another thing also that I want to mention, which is there has been a little complacency out there, right? And we've been through a lot in the past couple of years, and there's all this thing with quiet quitting and this and that and the other thing. And the people that are really going to stand out and apart are the ones that are committed to keeping their edge. I'm not saying overwork. I'm not saying burnout culture, but I am saying being committed to their growth, being committed to doing the work and being committed to making a difference. Those are the people that are going to succeed no matter what your age.
Yeah, I absolutely. And when I think about the leadership and being told, I've been told I'm emotional. I've always been moody and I've always been sensitive. My whole life I've been sensitive.
I don't find you moody. You think you're moody?
When I was young, I was moody.
Like you'd get in a bad mood and what would happen?
I would be very high or low.
Okay.
That's just how I was. I was always moody. Mostly as a kid. I regulated as I got older, but I was always moody, but I was always sensitive.
Okay.
Always sensitive. And I've gotten much less sensitive as I've gotten older because I've learned to, I've done the work.
Right, right.
But what's so funny is I remember there were several instances in my career where I've shed tears. And I always worked for men, and they would always get frustrated by that. And I had one boss who I cried that I didn't want to do the job anymore. It was just too stressful, and I was going to quit. And he was very much... He was a great boss in some ways, very pressure focused. And he's like, you need to get your shit together. You have to stop being emotional. And this is the same boss that, 3 months later when I was in the office, the office was in Chicago. I was in New York. I was in the office. He got upset about something and kicked and threw boxes across the office. Right. But I was the emotional one
because right? He didn't recognize anger as an emotion.
He didn't recognize anger as an emotion. Or I'll share another story with you. When I was first at Ad Age, I had started in February, and in April, my husband, Scott, was diagnosed with lymphoma. And I was sitting at my desk and the doctor called me to say I had to send Scott to the hospital because, and he shared, like, if it walks like a duck, I am 99% sure this is some sort of lymphoma or some sort of cancer, most likely lymphoma, all of this stuff. So I broke down hysterically,
of course,
in the office. My boss didn't know what to do. So he was very kind. He got me a car to take me. He was very kind. Go lay down in Jill's office because she was not in. But I took the next day off and I went back to work 2 days later. He didn't ask me how I was doing or how everything was. That's not emotional intelligence.
No.
That is someone who has no emotional
right.
intelligence.
Right.
And this is the way that we grew up. In corporate America,
yeah.
And it can't continue.
Well, this is the experience that I went through when I was in my third job. And my peer got promoted over me. This is mm-hmm. the worst boss ever. He got promoted over me. It's fine. So now I was reporting to him. And this is probably one of his first management. So that in itself is a weird dynamic.
Right.
But I think the person who ran the division, while brilliant, he was a manipulator. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a master, brilliant guy. But you could tell how he knew how to pull the strings, right? And my sister passed away in between this. And it was just, you know, I was not firing on all
right.
cylinders. And this guy just took every opportunity to pound me while I was admittedly not firing on all cylinders. But still, for me not to fire on all cylinders is pretty even. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Me not being on all cylinders is probably like just everyone else,
that's
right?
Like when I don't have energy, I'm
right.
Like
she's like
else.
Me, exactly. Right. So this guy was just a dick, and I left that job. I quit. But I was definitely being pushed out. It was the most horrifying experience of my life. Like, it was just, it ripped my confidence away from me. But all of that is just to say that there was just no empathy. Nothing. It was horrible.
It's unbelievable to me what they got away with. And I also get so mad when I look back and I recognize what emotional intelligence is. So one of it's empathy towards others, but one is recognizing your own emotions. And men are so bad at that.
Right. I didn't know what to do. He was just,
yeah,
whatever. I think he was really in over. I mean, I'm like, he's a dick. I think he was just way in over his head
yeah.
and probably doing what he felt like he needed to do
yeah.
to save his own hide
yeah.
and stand out and get ahead. And I get that. But it was...
There's no excuse. No, there's
was,
no excuse.
It was no
there's
good
no
leadership.
Excuse. Right.
And
I want to share another story because I want to shine a spotlight on this fact that men are emotional because I want women to be able to stand up for their emotional selves and be able to reflect back the situations I'm sure that they're seeing as with men as emotional. Because I do think that we think if we're upset that we're emotional, but if they're upset and they're angry or they're frustrated or they're acting like children, that's just, you know, they're passionate, right? So I
right.
had a boss, I had my direct boss and then the owner of the company, and I worked for them both, and I had been there 5 years and I just didn't want to do what I was doing anymore. I was working for a magazine I had no passion for anymore. I was like, I was, you know, calling on manufacturing companies. Like, I want to be dressed up. This is not what I want anymore. I want to be in the city, all this stuff. So I sat down with the owner of the company. I was like, look, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I am being very transparent with you because I respect you and I want to do something else, and I want to start looking, and I will help you transition, but I want to let you know.
Right.
And because we had that kind of relationship. So he said to me, I understand that. I will support you. And I told him in January, he's like, please do me a favor and stay through April because I really need help with we had a big event. We had a couple things going on. Please. And then in April, his first cousin at the time worked for Fairchild.
Okay, which is a big publishing company.
Which is a big publishing company. He's like, I will call my cousin and I can get you in Fairchild, or I will reach out. You know, I have connections. I will get you wherever you want to go, kind of thing. So I was like, okay, you know, then, and I had said, there's two jobs I want. I want to go work for Ad Age, or I want to go work for Women's Health.
Okay.
Right. That's what I wanted. I knew what I wanted and I put it into the world. And 2 weeks later, a job opened at Ad Age. And so I interviewed for it and I ended up getting it.
Right.
And so I told my boss, not the owner, first, right? I called Harold and I said, sorry, I'm calling Harold. I called him up and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm leaving. He's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I said, I'm going to Ad Age. He's like, you bitch. Oh. He's like, I can't believe you're going to Ad Age. That's the best job. I'm so jealous. Like, he was like so happy for me.
Right.
Then I said, I would like to tell Peter because I think it's
the right thing to do.
So I called Peter and he's like, you promised me until April. I said, Peter, I can't turn this down.
Right.
I can't pass up this opportunity. It's Ad Age. Right. This is like a huge new world for me. He was so mad he hung up on me.
Oh.
Wait. It gets better. Harold, my boss, who was so happy for me an hour ago, called me up 3 hours later and said, I need your turnover report. And I need it by the end of the week and you can be out. And they didn't talk to me for 5 days that I had left. Why is that okay?
Right.
I mean, right. It's not, but right. It's just so, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That is not leadership. I'm going off on tangents.
No, but it's not. It's just
understanding emotional intelligence is right. Really what this is coming right. To, because I really want women to understand that crying in the office, I'm not saying we should be crying in the office, but we get pointed out for that, and yet nobody's pointing out the men for their irrational
Well, for this
behavior.
Irrational behavior. So a couple of things I want to add to this. I wonder also that if some men do want to cry in the office, but they feel like they've got to put on this persona and that they can't. I remember there was this one guy in another department, and I mean, I didn't witness it, so I don't really know what happened, but that, you know, that he was like in tears because he felt like he was under too much pressure. Mm. You know, and everyone was kind of like, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, like maybe... Like he
sometimes
just felt
you
that.
Crack.
Yeah, sometimes you crack. Exactly.
Right.
So,
doesn't matter
you know,
if you're
maybe,
a man or a woman.
Right. That's right. Like, so are men going out there kind of leading with all this bravado because they feel like they need to?
Right.
And I guess I paid my penance with the two jerks. There are three men that I could point at. Mike Azara, fantastic leader. And just a lovely man. He was very in the very beginning of my career. He was wonderful. Robin Hall, whom I adore. I'm still close with him. He could be a little bit like the arsonist firefighter. Like, he oh my God, no, no. But he made me the writer that I am. He saw my strengths. He was just amazing. And he made the job exciting. And I just adored working for him. And then Jesse Aversano, who was wonderful also, saw me for my strengths. I'll never forget, I used to write his presentations for our conferences. And I went into his office and I'm like, all right. I said, what are we talking about? He goes, I don't know. You tell me. Like, he knew that I was good at it, yeah. You know, and I adored working for him too. So I was very, very lucky in those respects.
Yeah. And I loved I had good relationships with all those bosses. It's just the reality is, there were things that were not looked at as bad or frowned upon when a man did it, because they
right.
did it differently.
Like right.
What they did or how they acted out was different. The other thing I want to shift to is the other trait that is the number one trait necessary and identified for leaders to have, and that's this communication, collaboration, inclusion. It's this bucket. And women are far superior
yes.
in this bucket. I mean, by 10 points when you look at the scale and all of the research. And we may be more verbose than men. I admit it. I mean, our episodes are only supposed to be 40 minutes, and they're never 40 minutes because we go off on tangents.
Right.
And we like to tell stories, and we like to bring you
into
our world.
And I think that is something that women can work on.
Yes, right. We are extremely communicative, but We do communicate clearly. We don't, and we also don't keep stuff to ourselves. So a lot of times men will hold their knowledge is to themselves, where women will share their knowledge.
Yes.
Women will say, this is what's happening, where men will keep it to, they'll keep the cards close to their vest, right? Or women will be like, come on, let's all do this together. Let's collaborate. Let's all brainstorm. And men tend to be more like, this is what we're going to do when you're in or you're not, right? Mm-hmm. So those are all the traits that are really driving women's leadership and leadership in general and women's leadership specifically. And women are very inclusive.
Yes.
And that is something that is, right, for the most part. I mean, there's still the mean girls, there's still all of that. But that is one of the most important things, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And while diversity and equity are obviously very important, the inclusion part is the piece that really matters. Because you can have a diverse staff, you can have a mix of incredible talented people that are very diverse, but if you don't know how to include them, it's not going to matter.
Well, and
inclusion is the biggest piece to all of that.
Exactly. And the other thing is, you don't want to be hiring people. You know, we want to work with people that we like, and we usually like people who are like ourselves. Mm-hmm. But there's a danger in that.
Yeah.
Right? You need the diversity. You need people that are going to challenge you. And so you need to create a community where those things are welcomed, and you're also creating psychological safety for people to share. Now, there are always people that they don't really care, and right, they're going to share anyway. But we're talking about also people that have great ideas and maybe have previously not shared them because they were afraid of being, no, it's my way or the highway. I mean, yeah, the cultures I have worked in, while for the most part were wonderful, there was this overtone of, this is the way we do it, and we're not going to change it, and you listen to me.
Right.
Right? So our CEO and chairman was this very Italian-identified kind of guy, and I understand that because I am Italian, but, you know, he really brought it to this level of where it was kind of like a little godfatherish.
Yeah.
Right? And there was no room for this kind of thing. So I remember there was one guy that I loved working with. He spoke his mind. He got, like, you know, thrown out on his ear.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he was right, this guy, right, but no one wanted to listen to it. But the sense of creating psychological safety is new to me. Because I feel like when we were growing up in culture, no one really gave a shit about how I felt.
Right.
Well, wanted to make sure I felt safe in sharing my ideas.
Yeah. Well, it is very much more mainstream.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was at Ad Age, we did something called the small, I don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but we did something called the Small Agency Awards. And anyway, there was a guy who was revered as a creative in the agency world, and he was brought into a new company. And the guy, the creative, was abrupt. He was a bull. He was a bully, and that's how he always led. And this agency that was very well known for doing some Burger King stuff and changing the realm and, you know, hot agency, the owner pulled him in. He's like, hey, I'm going to call him Mark. I think you're great. We think you're one of the most creative, brilliant minds. I hear you're ruffling a lot of feathers. He's like, don't worry, I'll whip them into shape. He said, no. He said, if you continue to act that way, then you're going to be pushed out. You're going to be exited. That is not the culture we created.
That's amazing.
And he had to change his style to fit the company.
Wow.
And he said, somebody had the guts to tell me, I'm not better than anybody else.
That's good for him, for the awareness.
Right?
Because
exactly.
So many people, it sounds like this guy was incredibly successful, was used to getting his way, was called to the carpet on something, and he was like, whoa, he had used awareness to be like, oh, I can change my leadership.
Right.
Bravo.
And bravo for the owner to recognize that one bad seed, right?
Right.
Can really destroy the culture that they tried to grow.
Especially where creativity is trying to be fostered. You know, Jackie, there's one thing I did want to say before we talk about stress and women.
Beyond the soft skills, right?
And beyond the soft skills. But I do want to mention, yes, but I do want to mention something about soft skills. So the other day I was on LinkedIn and I saw Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, you guys may know him, he's a big marketing guy, and he was talking about soft skills, and he said soft skills are the emerging superpower of business. And I forwarded it on LinkedIn with some comments. And a few people commented on it and said, we agree. And they thought that we should reframe them as, and I wrote down what they said, hardcore skills, timeless skills, or essential human skills.
I love essential human skills.
Me too.
I think that, I agree. I hate that it's called soft skills. It drives me crazy. And we need to get rid of that. And I want to share this because I want to say something that if you haven't listened to anything, and we're going to give you like, do this one thing, but if you haven't listened to anything, I want you to hear this out because this is something you need to hear. Women outperform men, not just in soft skills. They outperform men in hard skills and the skills that make great leaders. And I want you to listen to this because we have been brainwashed to believe that we are only good at the soft human skills. And that is not true. We're great at those. But actually, there are lots of things that women excel at over men and out of, depending on the research, it's anywhere between, you know, 15 out of 17 skills or all skills that women outperform men. Again, depending on the research. So I really want to share that with you. And yeah, I do want to talk a little bit, Mimi, about women and stress because I think this is something that's fascinating. And also, I did not know this. I mean, I knew some of it, but I didn't know all of this. But think about a woman's life in any given week. We're dealing with a ton of stressful situations. Work. Right? You're working. You're obviously listening. You're working. Your home life, your relationship, your aging parents, your children, your finances, your own personal health, health of someone that you love, doctor's appointments, all those daily needs, right? There's always a lot of stress in a woman's life. Now,
yes.
there is absolutely stress in a man's life. But a woman's life seems to have more stress because we are usually more responsible for the other stuff.
Yes.
Right? Not just the work. And when you think about that, there's, you know, you can say to yourself, my gosh, it's so exhausting. But women have actually built their ability to manage stress much better than men, hence why we're not kicking boxes and why we're not, hanging the phone up or ignoring people for 3 days. We know how to handle stress, and we are wired differently.
Yes.
That we can handle stress.
I think so too.
And so there's two big triggers to that. One is women have more hormones and we have more neurotransmitters and chemicals in our bodies that block cortisol.
So we react
differently to cortisol. It doesn't have as adverse of an effect on us. So we have more blockers so that we can handle that, which I thought was fascinating.
Now, I read or listened to a podcast recently that said estrogen allows us to handle stress better. And I wonder if that's why we feel like our levels of stress jump when we go through menopause.
Absolutely. It's why I'm more agitated because I don't have
the estrogen.
So
can I get you an estrogen patch?
No, but no, you know, so we are neurobiologically and we're neurobiologically different to handle stress. And so those hormones are a big part. And the other part of that is when we are stressed, the triggers our fight or flight. When we are stressed as women, we activate more often our prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that is decision-making, that's thoughtful, that is the current part of our brain, where men actually trigger their amygdala more often, which is why they get into fight or flight,
sure.
Why they get physical, is because the stress actually does that. And it's so funny because I see that in my husband.
Sure.
He just triggers stress differently. So these are all things that are compounded together to make women much better leaders.
Right.
And we need to start thinking about, how do we take these skills and make them even stronger? Or if we don't have that style, how do we tap into it?
Right.
Right. So it is incumbent upon us to be on that developmental journey.
Absolutely.
To be the best leader we can be so that you can make the biggest impact you want to make and influence others, right? Because that's what this is all about.
That's what leadership is all about. The other thing that I want to add is that we have talked, and this is very, a very well-known fact, of this confidence gap for when women go for a job, right? I think women, I don't know what the exact stat is, but we can have like 80% of the experience and we're afraid to go for the job, and a guy can have like 20% and feel like he's overqualified, right? Use this episode as evidence that you are rightly qualified for these kinds of roles.
Yeah. And rightly qualified to lead.
Yes.
And that you are a much better choice to lead an organization. The numbers don't lie. So before we end this episode, we're starting to do something new at the end of this episode, and we're calling it Do This One Thing. So here's the thing that is amazing. We know, right, as coaches, as humans, as people who have done training and gone to trainings, that you might leave this episode and will most likely be really fired up about, I'm a freaking great leader and I'm going to step into all of this stuff. But that motivation wanes. So here's the one thing. So this Do This One Thing is going to be very concrete that we're going to do at the end of every episode.
Yes, we are.
Here's the one thing I want you to do. I want you to think about and ask someone in your realm, 2, 3, 4 people in your realm at work, what are the two qualities about you that make you a great leader? I don't care if you're leading a team or not, but what make you a great leader? And once you understand what those are, I want you to choose one thing you can do to enhance that strength even further.
Okay. Like this,
So if you are really great at conflict resolution, I want you to do one training, one development, one book, one podcast that can make you even better at that. Why? Because it is so much easier for us to make our strengths superpowers than it is for us to make our weaknesses our strengths. So let's put our energy where we will see and reap the most rewards.
I love that.
Okay.
I love it.
All right. All right, ladies. Until next week,
cheers to your magnificence.
Modern Gen X Woman is the podcast created with you in mind. If you're inspired by this episode, please leave us a review. It's so important. Look, we know it's not easy for you to stop and go over and leave a review, but it is so appreciated by Mimi and myself, and it really helps other amazing Gen X women like you find us so that they too can become the modern Gen X woman.